Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Williams Project podcast. This is episode 93, and today's topic is Know Your Worth.
Welcome back, everyone. Nice to have you here. Now, to get started, the topic is called Know Your Worth, but unfortunately, this is not going to be some cushy, feelings-based cuddle about knowing how important you are to those around you and yourself. Knowing your worth is going to be about data, something Matthew discovered, and then we've started implementing it in Williams Corporation. We're just going to talk about what it is, why we're doing it, how it helps yourself as a business owner or yourself as an employee or a contractor. And it's a really interesting concept. So Matthew, do you want to explain to our lovely listeners what this concept is?
Yes. So in Ray Dalio's book, Principles, they did a survey of everyone in their business and what percentage each person thought they were in achieving the goal of the business. And what it came out was, if you added up everyone's percentage worth that they thought they were, it ended up being 300%. So human nature by default, we over-exaggerate our self-importance and how good we are. And that can be good in some aspects, but bad in others. And what we're trying to manage is, there is a reality that in an organization, all the members of the team can only add up to 100%. You cannot have it adding up to 300%. So we have a human nature component where people are over exaggerating their importance, and that's leading to all sorts of animosity. So how can you, as a leader in a business or leader in society, manage that? Well, what Blair and I are doing, since we have this new data and we're starting to understand human nature more, we are now getting a spreadsheet which links into reporting, and we're recording every single aspect of the business, and we're essentially doing a workflow of everything required to build a house, and then we're putting a percentage rating on each component. Now, what that is doing is that's actually quantifying you, architect. You represent exactly 3.5% of the mission, and these are the things you need to do. And what it can do is it can give people a mental framework and a true accountability, as opposed to a feelings-based accountability.
Also, like with the whole needing a proper sort of measured accountability, it's no good if you're in management and you've calculated that someone's role's worth, say, 10% of your widget or your item, but in the employee's head, they think they make up 35%. Because that means no matter what you do, how well you treat them, how you remunerate them, it's unlikely you as a business owner will ever remunerate them an equivalent of 35% of the widget if you know that they're only doing 10% of the widget, and that employee will never feel satisfied no matter what remuneration you give them based on your assumption that they're responsible for 10%. So it's actually kind of part of another topic we've talked about getting everyone on the same page. And I think you need data as a business to get everyone on the same page of, here's what we do, here's how we do it, here's the average time we take, here's what percentage each person approximately makes up. And the main benefit is, I think, is getting level-headed expectations from management and then the reciprocal from employees.
Yeah, agreed.
Because I reckon the flip side's true, where some businesses think a staff member's doing 10, 20, 30%, but they're probably actually only doing 5, and they'll be completely disregarded in another department which does far more than what they think it does.
Yes, but the purpose of this report is the average person overvalues themselves by a factor of 3.
Yeah, amazing.
So that's what we're trying to manage as managers. And I truly believe the only way to manage that is to show the employees the data. Like, actually lay it down and say, right, here is what we do as a business. Here is the production line. Here is each person involved. And here is your percentage weighting. Now, we are only very early days into this. This is not something we're saying that we have nailed. This is a thought exercise that we are starting to review and understand. And we will keep you updated. This is an ongoing topic that will take years for us to master.
Yeah, it's not data you can generally pull overnight. And there's a lot of variables, like, especially what we do, is there's the whole argument of, well, we can't build anything if we don't have a consent.
Yeah. But then it's have 100% rating.
Correct. And it's the whole like, well, it's if you have a consent but no one to build it, then the consent's worthless.
So well, it's like the story of the Chinese cart. It's something along the lines of there was an owner of a cart who didn't oil it, and then the cart was going down the road and the wheel fell off. And because the wheel fell off, the messenger couldn't get to his destination. Because the messenger couldn't get to the emperor, he couldn't tell them where the enemy troops were. And because he didn't tell them where the enemy troops were, they lost the war because one person didn't do their job. But just because it is a production line that relies on everyone to do their job, everyone can't have 100% rating because that still makes no sense.
But I reckon that's exactly why the data shows most people put a 300% markup on where their worth is, because they have the mindset of without me or without my component, nothing else matters. So even though I know I'm only a small portion, I'm going to overweight my importance. Whereas Matthew said, if everyone's important, no one's important. Like, as
it's,
opposed to going...
It's interesting.
Yeah. But it's then also, interesting, right, psychological.
There are times where you should over-exaggerate your importance. Like, for example, with your health, you should think of yourself as 300 times more important than you are. And you should treat yourself with due respect. But also in an organization, when you're looking at remuneration, obviously you can't give everyone a 300% pay rise based on their expectations. This is actually the internal dilemma of capitalism.
Yeah.
It's honestly the actual worth of someone in an organization, like us included, right? The actual worth versus the perceived worth.
And then, like we said before, there's so many metrics you can add on to it. Like, even if you have the best data in the world, there's still things you can't really measure overly well.
Well, but there's always intangibles, but maybe you can measure everything.
But I suppose it's more the main objective is even if you pull that number back from 300 to 200, it's still substantially better than everyone in an organization thinking they're doing three times the work. And this isn't bashing employees, and I don't want it to come across like it's bashing employees, because it's not. I think it's not healthy for employees to work for someone that doesn't show them the equivalent of what they're doing as a percentage or some sort of measurement, because it does build animosity. And then it's not fair for employees to think they're doing substantially more than what they are, because then they'll constantly feel undervalued and like they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, no, this is...
So it's actually to help the employee.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you say, I don't think you're ever going to get it to be perfect where they think their worth and the organization's view of their worth is identical. But if we can get it from 300% down to 150%, well, that's good. It means we're at least at the ballpark to have negotiations and proper discussions.
Yeah. So what are some summary items for how people can sort of start this process of breaking down the organization? Or even if an employee's listening to this going, well, I know my manager's not interested in this or can't do it, how do I actually figure out what weight I should be putting on myself as an employee?
Well, this is the thing. The base data shows that the average employee is overestimating their importance in the overarching mission by a factor of 3, right? And what we now need to do as an organization is show the data so an employee can see exactly what they're doing, how they're achieving the mission, and what their importance makes up of the total mission, getting that down to a realistic data-driven point, and then all of us as a team building up together and people being remunerated correctly based on the work they have done. And the way we're doing that at Williams Corp, each department is feeding in their data as they complete each part of the process into a Google Sheet. We're pulling that Google Sheet into Google Data Studios, and we're generating reports for each department and for the company as a whole. And now the last thing we have to do, which is the most brutal part, is actually put the percentage rating on each department.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a very hard process for us, Blair, because we don't actually know. All we can do is do the best we can.
And I suppose in a way we'll probably have to break it down into like time widgets, because time is generally a good measure of cost as well.
Yes, but time's not necessarily associated to importance.
No, because if you take long, it doesn't mean you're more important. It might mean that you're just slow.
Yeah, and the bulk and location, right? Like, and also then what you have to do is once you've attributed that weighting, you then need to break it down. So like, for example, you might say architecture or project management as a whole is 25%. And of that, we're going to go 5% is scheduling, 10% is site management, 5% is quality control, and 5% is health and safety, or something to
or
that
maintenance accord. Or, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because then I suppose...
And also, though, I think these mental exercises make you a better manager. So what we're actually talking about, we're talking about how to understand human psychology, how to get the correct data on human psychology and how to implement that into your management. That's what we're actually doing as a mental exercise.
With your example of breaking down your project manager role and say 25% and 5% here, 10% there, you should essentially be able to reverse engineer that data and then help your staff better manage their time. Be like, in a rough week, based on what we think is your job, this is essentially how long you should be allocating to these various tasks that you're assigned to do.
Yeah. Well, it's just like our top management, right? Someone like Nathan, who runs our design department, he should not be doing a job, right? Because his job is management of the people doing the job. So if we've got to a part where Nathan's drawing plans, we have a problem. Because our best use of Nathan's time...
Well, if Nathan's managing, say, 20 people, if he can make each person 5% more effective through their time management or skill and ability, he's then created another person.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and Nathan's whole job is employing people and training people.
Yeah, and if you manage 10 people and get those 10 people to be 10% more effective, then once again, you've justified yourself being more of a management role than a operational physically doing role.
And Blair, look at us, right? There's 155 staff in Williams Corp. We need to all make them, even if we can make them 1% better today, the output's huge.
Yeah, that compounding multiplier.
Yeah. So this is really, really interesting. I think this is definitely a podcast that we should do a 1-year anniversary on, and we'll have some really good data by then. And we'll be able to actually give the listeners a summary of if this has worked or if we got our teeth kicked in trying to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or did we just say, hey, here's what each percentage you're each worth? And everyone's like, I don't agree. Nah, that's a shit way to manage my time. Who knows?
Yeah. But also, this is something that's right or wrong. It's going to take iterations and iterations and iterations. In the same way, the modern car looks nothing like the Model T Ford.
Yeah, but the main issue is you have to get started on this data thing. If you own a business, just start collecting data, start reporting on it, and obviously don't all of a sudden have a business where all your staff do every day is reports and they actually get nothing done. That's not what we're saying, but it's literally just breaking down the key things your organisation does, make sure you have data and reporting on it, and ideally it shouldn't be an additional job to get. It should just be part of how they manage themselves, tracking their dates, tracking their progress, and then the report can automatically be generated from that data.
And that's the great thing. You're completely right, Blair. So the way we've set it up, when each task is complete, they just do their sign off via entering the data into this spreadsheet. So it's just, I completed this job on this date, and then Google Data Studios automatically takes the data and makes the report.
Yeah, because I think historically, businesses kind of had to rely on like report generating. Like, it has been the end of the month. We now need 4 or 5 days for the team to compile the information and give management the report. But I think with technology and the cloud and et cetera, I don't think that should really be an acceptable practice now. And everything should be done in a way where it generally is self-compiling data to generate the report.
Yeah,
so
at
any time you can
audit.
Get a snapshot and there's some sort of audit process within it. Completely and it saves agree. A lot of human labor if your reports are self-generating.
Completely agree. But well, I reckon we nailed that.
Yeah, like I said, we're not there yet. We're on that journey. We've got heaps to do, but it's interesting. Now we're putting lots of attention on it, what we're starting to see coming out. So
yeah, and we'll keep you guys updated. So you know the feat. If you took value from this podcast, please share it with one like-minded friend. Thank you for being a listener. We really appreciate you. Have an awesome day.
See ya.